skies for amber waves of grace. Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story. Hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that will determine what the future will bring. And I need to remind you the views that are expressed here are not those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of this station. They're my views, the views of our guests, and the views of our callers. We welcome your calls from out across America at 1-888-24-LIBERTY, and here in the Central Coast of California at 464-8295. But we ask that you hold your calls for the time being, because, of course, we have with us right now, from Coeur d'Alene, Idaho, the one, the only, John Loeffler. Hi, John. How are you doing?
From the beautiful Cougar Gulch in the Northwoods.
And John, of course, does his own radio program, which we broadcast on our little station. It's called Steel on Steel, because iron sharpens iron and man sharpens man. And he has a wonderful program. And of course, if you don't listen to Steel on Steel, you can go up on the web and pull it down and certainly listen to it. Hopefully you'll want to listen to that on a regular basis. So anyway, of course, this is one of the most momentous days of our lives. This parallels really what happened on September 11th. In fact, we would not be having an invasion of Iraq today. The American people never would have gone along with this if we had not had September 11th. But September 11th, as George Bush said a few days later, 9 days later, when he addressed the nation, and it all came upon us in a single day, and night fell on a different world, a world in which freedom itself is under attack. And those are beautiful words. And freedom is under attack, and our freedom is being rapidly taken away from us here at home in the name of fighting terrorism. But all this legislation we're passing doesn't have anything to do with Islamic terrorism, and that's what bothers me. It seems to be aimed more at people who disagree with this move towards the New World Order, the New World Religion. Tell me what your thoughts are today, John.
Well, it's interesting. When you talk about the New World Order, you know, that term has been used for, I was just running back through it, the history of it. It goes back a couple of hundred years where people began talking about a new order that they hope would come about. What is really interesting is H.G. Wells' famous prediction of around 1935, when he predicted that the New World Order, same verbiage, same terminology, would finally come about after World War III, he said. And this was before World War II. After World War III, which would begin somewhere near Basra, Iraq. If that isn't haunting, I don't know what is.
Well, of course, that quotation comes from a book called The Shape of Things to Come.
Correct.
And it was written by H.C. Wells, and he talked about how the Second World War would originate with a conflict between Poland and Germany in 1939, almost like everything's been scripted.
Like it's been scripted. But, you know, even if it hasn't, you're right about one thing. You know, the collapse of the Twin Towers is a very good example of how freedom goes away. And what happens is first there's an incident or a series of incidents which begin to threaten the superstructure of a building. And quite frequently there are symptoms. I mean, there was smoke and flame pouring from the upper stories. But I don't think anybody anticipated the collapse that was going to follow. When the mass of the building above the incident, finally the girders melted down and they began to slam down and the inertial mass took everything else down with it. And that's the way when things collapse and when things change throughout history. History is a whole series of gradual changes punctuated by rather sudden shifts, but the shifts have been a long time in coming. They don't just suddenly drop on us, it's there. And that's the same thing with freedom, which is the both sides of this issue coin, in that we have been frequently holding ourselves up as the paragon of freedom, and for so long in the world we have been this paragon of freedom. But the funny part about it is Attorney General John Ashcroft has been running around putting demolition charges on the foundations of the Constitution, all in the name of keeping us safe. And look at what Patriot Bill 2 is going to do.
Well, we'll be back here in just a moment with our good friend John Loeffler, and welcome your calls from out across America right here at Radio Liberty. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and our special guest this afternoon is John Loeffler, from Steel on Steel, and we'll need to remind you that the views that are expressed on this program are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of this station. They're my views, the views of our guests, the views of our callers, and John and I are going to be talking about really the significance of what's going on today from a geopolitical point of view, from certainly from the point of view of what's happening here in America with the progressive loss of our freedom as the American people are so frightened of the threat of terrorism that they will surrender their freedom, do anything, of course, because after all, we're either on orange or red alert here in America. But, you know, the other thing, of course, people, and I think most people who comment on this, miss the spiritual dimension, because certainly we have a group of people in America dedicated to a one-world government, and that's their objective and goal. And there's another group in Europe who want a one-world government, but they want to be in charge of it. And there are secret societies that work behind the scenes, and they want this one-world government. But God has a plan, too. And, of course, that's, of course, the factor that nobody ever thinks about today. Or the fact that so much of what's going on today may be actually the fulfillment of ancient philosophy, ancient predictions. So, Sean, why don't you sort of pick up the story?
Well, basically, all through the 20th century, everybody was talking about the New World Order. Whenever they did, they were always making references to a global government. As Marilyn Ferguson put it in her book, The Aquarian Conspiracy, back in 1980, as one of the insiders, she said, you know, it's not really a secret conspiracy in behind closed doors with people smoking cigars under green visors and a naked light bulb. It's really very open. They're telling you very plainly. And she said, it's really not quite a conspiracy as much as it is a very open collaboration of like-minded people working towards a common goal. And that's pretty much what we're seeing it as. Now, the funny part was, if you recall back in 1990 when we went into Iraq the first time, the justification for doing that was the New World Order. That's what President Bush kept telling us. And people kept asking, well, golly willikers, Mr. President, what's this New World Order? Now, for those of us who'd studied this whole thing, the term wasn't new to us. What shocked us was that he was using it publicly. And it's sort of interesting because you write about this struggle that has appeared ever since late last year, starting around September, October. We all began to sense a sea change in the operation. And it almost looked like the Anglo-American alliance that was originally envisioned by Cecil Rhodes was stacking up against the United Nations European Union vision of oneness and non-separateness and things of that nature.
Well, we're going to have to interrupt you there, John. We'll be back in just a moment here to continue and welcome your calls from out across America. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and our guest this afternoon is John Loeffler, and of course, we're talking about the move towards the New World Order. Now, if any of you doubt that there is a move towards a new social order, a new secular order, or a new world order, call it what you will, pull out your dollar bill and look at the bottom there on the back, and you'll see, of course, the pyramid capped by the all-seeing eye with the caption beneath Novus Ordo Seclorum. And, of course, the new secular order, some people refer to as the New World Order. And where did that come from? Well, it came from the back of the Great Seal of the United States and was put there in 1782 by a group of occultists. There's people that long ago planning on using America to force the whole world into this one system. And if you want to get the history, we've got books on the background of the Great Seal of the United States, that emblem on the back of the dollar bill. And then, of course, it was that same emblem, that same satanic emblem, because that's what it is, that was put on the DARPA webpage, the Total Information Awareness Project, put together by Admiral Poindexter under the direction of the President and the Pentagon. And, of course, they've taken it down because, of course, some people said that was just so flagrant. I mean, anybody could see this satanic symbol when they're talking about tracking the activities of every American. Total Information Awareness. So that's off of the page, but there are a number of other web pages that actually have it, and one of these days I hope to get it up on our web page when we get well enough organized, but you can see it at the back of the dollar bill, Novo Ordo Seclorum, the new social or new world order.
It actually means new order of the secular is the literal translation. Right. So it's sort of interesting.
But
you know, the funny part is even during this sort of hiatus period between the first time we began bringing the UN back in to do weapons inspections to what began happening yesterday and continues today, and that is there was double-sided conversation. because every time we ask and somebody says, like one of us says, well, you guys are moving towards a global government, then that is would be openly ridiculed. If you and I were to say that on a national talk show, like Ron Paul made a comment about something, not about this topic, something else, he said the ceiling would cave in on you, you know?
Well, Chris, that's what happens if you ever mention it on the Rush Limbaugh show, and immediately people attack you and demonize you and ridicule you and then cut you off because, of course, Rush Limbaugh is paid not to get that information out, not to reveal, but to conceal the fact that we're moving towards this global government. And so I think Rush does a great job of moving people from the left to the middle, and then hopefully we can pick them up and tell them the real truth.
Well, I mean, but having said all of that, then right around the very same people on the evening talkie shows on the cable channels will be there talking about how we really need to vest the power and authority in these international bodies because this just isn't something that we can really handle ourselves, et cetera, et cetera. Well, then if you ask them, well, what mechanism? Well, we do it by treaties and we turn over control. And probably that's one of the best descriptions of what we're in right now is we're in a period of time when everything is very, very blurry. And just like the World Trade Center, we have the images of still standing the way we were before, but we're really not. In other words, there's other things. Let me give an example. We keep hearing the concept about international law. Some people were saying it was illegal. I think even Kofi Annan was saying it was illegal if President Bush goes into Iraq unilaterally. I think, what do you mean illegal? Who makes any law? To what law is Iraq subject? You know, who died and made the United Nations God? You see, that type of thing. And so we call this illegal as if there were some corpus of law. Here in this country, we have the same variations right now. We say, when it's convenient, we say, why, we're at war. And then when it's not convenient, well, it's not really a war. It's more of a UN or a police action. Say, for example, how you treat prisoners of war in this whole thing. If it is a war, then they have rights under the Geneva Convention. And so we've been playing double shoot on this. When we talk about who is an enemy combatant, this is probably one of the most dangerous terms out there nowadays, because the definition of what is an enemy combatant is very blurry. And if you are labeled an enemy combatant, then all sorts of things can start happening to you. You can be stripped of your constitutional rights. Your habeas corpus can be ignored, everything else like that. Now, in the case of Johnny Walker, you could tell he was an enemy combatant. He's on the other side. He's got a gun. He's shooting at us. It's pretty clear. But when people begin to be arrested on this soil and they're U.S. citizens, what is the process for pronouncing them an enemy combatant? It's simply a label that's slapped on you by the Justice Department. And once the label is applied, suddenly all your rights go away. Now, wait a minute. You know, our founding fathers are probably flipping in their graves right now at this whole thing. Because it all rests on one thing. What is the definition of an enemy combatant? And that means that sometime in the future, when it's convenient for a later administration, they can point back to the Bush administration and say, see, we set the precedent, and now we will simply slide the definition of enemy combatant to mean anyone who criticizes the government or something like that.
Well, of course, we've already seen this with the USA Patriot Act. You know, they've just changed the definition of terrorist. A terrorist is no longer, has nothing to do with Islamic terrorism. It has to do with somebody who wants to change our government by coercion. Well, that's the Council on Foreign Relations. That's the Trilateral Commission. That's the Bilderbergers. Gee, maybe that's the Skull and Bone Society. That's the leadership of the Masons. Maybe they all ought to be considered to be terrorists, but, of course, don't believe that's going to happen. What they're going to do, of course, is use certainly this term of terrorism against those who don't want to go along with the New World Order, and with that, the New World Religion. You must understand the two go hand in hand. Well, we've got Chris calling us from Kentucky. Hi, Chris, did you have a question or comment?
Yes, thank you, Dr. Stan. You know, what's amazing about the two-party system, I wanted to point out, is that a lot of the Democrats that Bush was wrong for this war long before the Iraq War came out, and then when this happened, all of a sudden, you're seeing the Democrats saying, we must support Bush, we must go along with the troops, and it's just the same game with the media plays. This is such a staging game of the manipulation of mindset, like your guests are saying, to the New World Order. It just goes on and on. And this went back in 1991 with the Gulf War as well, didn't it?
Well, of course, it's like deja vu all over again.
It surely is. It really is.
And but do you have a comment on what Chris is saying there, John?
Well, I mean, no, I don't.
All right, fine. All right, John's a man of very, very few words. Anything else, Chris?
I just wanted to bring that out because it's just such a staging game. We have one party. We need a second party.
We sure do. And maybe we could even get one. But where would we find anybody who would be willing to stand up and tell the truth, because they know that they'd be attacked by the conservative press, by the liberal press, by just about everybody of any significance in this country. If you try to tell the truth, you'll be demonized and marginalized. Let's go to Helen calling here from Aptos. Hi, Helen. How are you doing?
Well, I'm doing fine, but I'm just angry. I heard Tony Blair a few minutes ago, and maybe you've said this earlier on your show. I've just tuned in. He was telling about the United Nations. Once we've taken the oil in Iran, the funds will be turned over to the United Nations, who will direct the money then to the people over there to help them. Well, I thought, ha, 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 can you believe the United Nations would help anybody? I've never seen them help anybody yet. But I just gritted my teeth and turned the television off, and I can hardly stand what's going on, including my Republican Party. They are, it's just a big blank, and several of my conservative friends have said in our state convention recently, they just went home feeling, good night, I'm as empty as a empty vessel, and why did I even bother to go?
Well, you have to understand that they've taken over the Republican Party in California. They invested millions and millions of dollars to do it, and the trouble is that the average citizen has no idea what's going on because nobody's going to tell them that.
Well, they're tempted to buy. Do you think there's a little grease, a little money being put out there to buy votes, which is what somebody told me this morning? They wondered if that happened in Sacramento recently. Little money helped to buy some votes.
Well, I know that they did buy the central committees by here in our Monterey Bay area. They spent, I don't know how many, tens of thousands of dollars on massive mailings. We put a mailing out. My goodness, the post office didn't elect, at least last election, the one before that. Post office wouldn't put it out till 10 days after the election. But, of course, they brought Howard Jarvis back from the grave to tell people to vote for these conservatives, and they were all liberals. Hey, thanks very much, Helen.
All right.
Let's go to Fred calling from Salinas. Hi, Fred. How are you doing?
Pretty good. I just wanted to make one comment. I was to talk about how the media is run. I was watching CNN one day, and they was talking about this shock and awe. Before they did that, about 15 minutes before that, they said that our attack was going to be like a blitzkrieg. And then about 15 minutes later, they come back and said, no, it was going to be shock and awe.
Now, we couldn't call it blitzkrieg because that's what the Germans and the Nazis did.
Yeah, I thought it was the funniest thing, and I've never heard blitzkrieg again.
What do you think about that, John?
Well, those are minor things. Those are minor mid-course corrections that may or may not mean anything.
All right, fine. Thanks so much, Fred.
Uh-huh.
But, I really think that we have to pray for our boys over there and pray that this thing will go as quickly as it can and with as little loss as possible. Some people say we need a lot of loss of life to get the American people's attention. Those are American boys, and they believe in America. We've just got to educate the American people about what America is all about. That's the problem is today. Most people have forgotten the source of our freedom. And when I hear the president say we want to bring democracy over there, I wonder, has he ever studied the Constitution or the Bill of Rights or the Declaration of Independence and the Federalist Papers? Because it never uses the word democracy other than to decry it and say we don't want a democracy, we want a republic. That's why every one of our states is a republic, too, with limitations placed on the power of government.
That is true. The bottom line that, you know, G. Gordon Liddy just wrote an interesting book. When I was a kid, this was a free country. And he told me he did that because nowadays people born after our generation levels don't remember what a free country is all about. They really think we need state involvement in everything of our lives.
I think that's really so accurate. Well, we're going to have to take another break here. Charlie in Pittsburgh, I'm going to ask you to hang on here, and we'll get to you as soon as we get back. And, of course, this is the time when we're going to take a little break, and we'll be right back with you.
Have you ever wondered what really happened in Oklahoma City? Well, a very important video is the cover-up in Oklahoma City. It really consists of film clips that were actually taken from video footage shot during the first 2 or 3 days after the bombing. And you'll actually hear the commentators in Oklahoma City talking about the second bomb, the third bomb that had been disarmed. Now, if they were actually disarming bombs there, why didn't we hear that throughout the rest of the country? You'll actually hear an interview with one of the gentlemen who was in the Murrah building at the time that the bomb went off, and he had time then to jump underneath his desk before the blast blew in from outside. Obviously, there were two bombs, one inside, one outside. Call 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. It is vitally important that you help us to get this message out across America, because without knowledge, my people perish.
This is Radio Health journalist Bill Sardi. Hey, a lot of smart supplement users like to check out the facts before they purchase an herbal product. So go to www.lifespannnutrition.com and read all about Alamex, the new odorless, 100% pure Allicin garlic extract imported from Great Britain. You'll find Alamex is equivalent to 15 cloves of fresh, crushed garlic. Check it out at www.lifespannnutrition.com or call 866-405-405. 4000 to learn more about this breakthrough in garlic technology called Alamex. Call 1-866-405-4000 today.
Well, this is Dr. Stan, and I just wanted to mention this is a good time to have something that will allow you to filter your water and filter it properly. And so I'm simply going to suggest that we have several products. One of them is called a Big Berkey. It's the most economical water filter you can buy. The ceramic filters can be cleaned up to 100 times. It's convenient. It sets up in just minutes without any need for plumbing tools or electricity. It's powerful. The Big Berkey removes pathogens such as E. coli, cholera, and cryptosporidium, and it reduces chlorine and herbicides, pesticides, foul taste, and odors. The Big Berkey is so powerful it can easily filter raw, untreated water from lakes and rivers. It's elegant. The high-grade polished stainless steel will complement your finest decor. It's flexible. And ordinarily, these are $279. If you buy it through Radio Liberty, you get it for $239. And, of course, we give you the option of getting either one of the videos or one of the four tape sets we've actually produced here. And so give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. And ask about the Big Berkey water filter. Now, this is not available in California or in Iowa. We do have one that is available in California. It's called the Berkey Light, and that, of course, is instead of being of high polished stainless steel, it's clear plastic. It has a different type of filter that works much more efficiently, but it has to be replaced every 2 years. Now, that's only $199, and it's available by calling us at 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. It's called a Berkey Light, and of course you can get it with, if you want really fancy with extra lights on the bottom, that's an extra $60. But if you want to just get the Berkey Light water filter that'll filter about 2.5 gallons immediately, it gets about 25 gallons of water a day, give us a call. Berkey Light, $199 plus $10 shipping, and we throw in either a video or a four-tape set. Call us at 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. Because at this time especially, you need a good source of clean, safe water. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here, and our guest this afternoon is John Loeffler. John, would you like to get your website out or a telephone number for our listeners?
Yeah, sure. Our website on the web is www.steelonsteel.com. That's one word, steel like the metal. Or they can get a list of our programs if they call us toll-free, 1-800-829-5646, 1-800-TAX-JOHN. And I'd like to just point out what we've always been for Steel on Steel is either a program offering what I call retrograde perspective. We look back and see sort of how we got to where we are as events are going on, or an early warning service. I checked our records, and the first time we mentioned Osama bin Laden on our program was August 6, 1996, which was about 5 years or better before anybody else in the U.S. ever really thought about him.
And that was even before Craig Roberts, in his book Medusa File, talked about Osama bin Laden.
Right, exactly. So, and as I always tell people, you know, a lot of times the things we say sound a little strange, but we predicted 9-1-1. In other words, just we did a series of shows on the coming Islamic terrorism, what it would look like, and because, again, even when we talk about this new order, everyone keeps talking about the new order, we didn't think that up, Dr. Stan. That wasn't our creation. That was their creation, these various organizations that believe in global governance. That's the other term. And all I'm doing is telling you what these people have been saying and how they play the dialectic to get it there. Now, people will say, well, who were the they? That sometimes it's very hard to determine. But there are organizations which were founded to do that. They range all the way from organizations such as the Lucis Trust, which used to be the Lucifer Publishing Company. The Council on Foreign Relations, along with the Royal Society in Great Britain, were founded in 1921 at a meeting in Paris that took place. I mean, we can find all of this in the memoirs of the people who did this, all for the purpose of promoting a global government. And they keep changing the names, they keep changing the terms, they keep protesting. When they get caught doing something, they switch and go the other way. But nevertheless, we constantly keep hearing this drumbeat out there. At the same time, they're ridiculing anybody as a conspiracy theorist. We keep hearing this drumbeat about how we need to turn our sovereignty or chunks of it over to international governing bodies. Or they won't quite say it that way. They'll say, well, we need to vest international bodies with certain authorities to achieve certain things in the environment or whatever. And then if you were to follow that up, which the talk show hosts never do, with, well, how do you propose to do that? In other words, once we get into the mechanism, you would see that what we're saying is very much true, and that is by divesting ourselves of the authority to do it.
Okay, well, we've got Charlie, who's been hanging on patiently over there in Pittsburgh. Hi, Charlie. How are you doing?
Dr. Stan, Mr. Loeffler, good evening or afternoon, whatever the case may be. I wanted to ask you two questions, but I wanted to know, at what point do we start calling President Bush Alexander the Great number two? Or do you think that's going to happen?
Well, I'll tell you what, Alexander the Great was deeply involved in the mystery of religions, which most people don't understand, and he had learned about the secrets of the mysteries from Aristotle, and you want to check that out, the book, The Life of Alexander, Plutarch's The Life of Alexander, translated by Scott Hively, and until you understand the significance of the mysteries and what they purported and what they supported, you can't understand where we are headed today under the Bush administration. Anything? Did you have a question for John?
Yes, I had two questions. I want your take from both of you, if you could, on the Pope calling this an illegal and immoral war, and fellow Catholics who did not kind of follow suit with that, the possibility of being excommunicated.
I don't think that's true.
I don't think he said he was going to execute.
Well, I think I heard a bishop or cardinal or something make that statement on one of these radio programs.
Well, I don't think the Pope has said that, but I think he's called
it. Didn't the Pope call the war illegal and immoral?
Yeah, but I don't think he said he was going to excommunicate people who supported it.
Well, the most important question, I really think, and what I wanted to ask you, especially you being a doctor, I know you're not a psychologist. But these blatant lies, some of them blatant, some of them not so blatant, that they just constantly put forward, is this some sort of, like mind control or...
Yes. Anything else?
That's pretty much it.
Okay. Thank you so much, Sean. Any other questions?
Okay. No, what do you think it's going to go from here? I mean, you fall in the biblical, at some point these people are going to figure this out and just... attack in mass and
well, I think that's a long ways away. At least I hope it's a long ways away. I think in the meantime there's going to be terrible things happening here at home, to the point where the American people will say, gee, we're going to have to give up our freedom, and the only hope is this one world government.
I know you don't have a lot of time, but really, could you expound a little bit on this thing with these lies that these people are telling?
We'll be back in just a moment. Okay. Charlie. And we're going to be back here in just a moment here at Radio Liberty.
Have you ever wondered what the Vietnamese War was really all about? Why America, the most powerful nation in the world, spent 10 years fighting in Southeast Asia against a nation the size of the state of Mississippi, and America lost that war? Do you really believe that happened by accident? There's so much to the story of Vietnam that the American people have never really known. And in our four-tape set, Vietnam, The Untold Story, you're going to get the information that you need to understand the tragedy of that event. Call 1-800-5-HIV-WAR, 1-800-5-HIV-WAR, and ask for Vietnam, The Untold Story, the story of what really happened in Vietnam that has been suppressed from the American people for the last 20 years.
Well, this is Dr. Stan, and I just a couple of things we do carry, and let me just mention to you. One of them, of course, is medical-grade iodine, and of course, you know, if there were to be a radiological attack, and I would hope and pray that this would never be necessary, but we do have medical-grade iodine tablets. I think there are 200 of them to a bottle, and if you'd like to get them, something just to have on hand in case this should be a problem, give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-5-HIV-1. And they just ask for the bottles on medical-grade iodine. And these are the same troops that they issue to the military. So, and then, of course, we want to mention some of the other items we carry, like Miracle 2 soap products. And, of course, this is a long way from being an orthopedic surgeon, but Miracle 2 soap products really have been so beneficial to many of our listeners out there. A lady called the other day, and she just had headaches and problems for really years, and she tried these products, and suddenly her headache went away. And now, I don't know whether there's any connection, but she certainly thinks that there is. And we hear these stories over and over again from various people who've used this, and this seems to help with energy. Is this real? We can't make any medical claims about it. We can only tell you that many of our listeners make amazing claims about these products. If you'd like to learn more about Miracle 2 soap products, give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. There's a soap, a moisturizing soap, a lotion, a gel, and a neutralizer, which people take. It's alkaline solution. It seems to help people as far as their heartburn is concerned. And well, all I can do is just tell you that many, many people make all sorts of wonderful claims. The only claim we will make is it's excellent, excellent soap. If you'd like more information, give us a call, 1-800-544-8927. Well, Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, and we had a gentleman calling from Pennsylvania. He wanted to know about all the lies they're telling. And I will just tell you that people in the media, they're good people in the media, but there are people there who are there to just mislead the American public. And there's so much misinformation and frank disinformation, not only in the media, but certainly up on the web. And so our television and our motion pictures are being used to change our moral perspective. I mean, it was one time that, people were supposed to be married before they got in bed. At one time, Hollywood wouldn't even show you a man and woman in bed together. But then that was a different era. Why? Because they set out intentionally to change just a little at a time our social mores. And America has changed from a Christian to a pagan nation. And we are truly a pagan nation. We went through an intermediate stage. Initially, we went from Christian to atheist and from atheist to pagan. And with pagan comes this worship of sensuality. And, of course, behind that are the dark spiritual forces of the prince of this world. So you pick it up from there, John.
You're going to drop it on me right there, right?
Right. Well, of course, you recognize the spiritual element of this battle as well as I do.
Well, you know, it's interesting. There's a couple of things that I'm trying to do now is look forward, as we've tried to do. After Iraq, the war on terror is by no means over. We have terrorist-supporting countries such as Saudi Arabia, our so-called friends. Syria, Pakistan, Iran has, as a result, once this thing kicked in with Saddam Hussein, they began stepping up their weapons of mass destruction program, and are now, they just, I think, recently took delivery of gas centrifuges to be able to refine uranium further. You have North Korea. So Al-Qaeda itself is split up into cells that were very much like the Internet, designed to keep a head from being cut off. It doesn't make any difference where you strike. you're going to have to do quite a bit of striking. So that's the war on terror. That means it's going to come home here, and I've been encouraging Americans to start thinking in terms, not in panic, but just thinking in terms of what if. One of the Al-Qaeda objectives was to hit the infrastructure and to interrupt it, you know, especially in the area of oil now and natural gas. Our natural gas supply system, a lot of which comes from Saudi Arabia, is very fragile. If they were to interrupt that, believe it or not, natural gas drives a lot of our power plants because we've been shifting off of coal for environmental concerns. So now if we're power challenged, how would you survive? If the power is off for a day in your home, what would you do? It's really time we almost go back to Y2K type thinking. It's not that you grab 50 million rounds of ammo and gold and groceries and head for the hills or something. Some people do that. But you have to start thinking in terms of safety. It was like you were talking about medical-grade iodide. Now, medical-grade iodide works in certain radioactive components. It does not work for cesium-137, which is very highly likely what would be used in a dirty bomb. And they're talking now about Prussian blue, apparently, was used to treat victims of that cesium-137 escape down in Brazil from that medical x-ray machine that was dumped at the city dump and a whole bunch of people got contaminated. But all of beside all of that, you just have to start thinking it. We passed through a new paradigm. That's really important. And most of the people, even those news pundits out there, you know, it's not a giant conspiracy. They just are fed a certain amount of information. It's a giant, what I call, incestuous relationship among a lot of them. And unless they're willing to break the paradigms and the norms, they will never get to the truth on the whole thing. So that's what you're facing. But you have to think in the new paradigms, because we are literally in a new time. This is called fourth-generation warfare, when you and I are legitimate targets of terrorist activity along with all of our other fellow citizens out there.
But is there a better way to really promote this Islamic terrorism than, of course, to infuriate the 1.2 billion Muslims living in the world? I think the greatest incentive for joining Al-Qaeda was the attack on Iraq. I think we've fallen right into Osama bin Laden's trap.
Well, I do know, like, even in Amman, Jordan, as the attack started last night, the amount of outrage grew, which is something we've always been predicting. In other words, I don't think Americans understand the bonding element of the Middle East. This is something why when we talk about friends there, I go, well, you need to understand there's a different mentality. And I don't think that's been acknowledged. Again, that has been short-circuited. We've had 40 years of all cultures are equally okay, all cultures think the same way. If we just sit down and dialogue with these cultures, we'd be okay. Well, it's just simply not true, Dr. Stan. It just never has been, and it never will be.
But, of course, the thing is that the Muslim religion for centuries overall has been fairly peaceful. It is only this Wahhabi element that comes out of Saudi Arabia that is this violent form. But, of course, this is what we actively encouraged through the American Central Intelligence Agency in Afghanistan. We brought these Muslims in from all over the world. They were called Afghan. They were Afghan warriors. They were Muslim warriors, and we indoctrinated them in this radical form of Islam, and we taught them how wonderful it was to die for Allah and to kill the infidels, and they should be Muslim warriors. And then we're surprised that they became Muslim warriors and embraced this. We even put out $56 million for textbooks to indoctrinate the Islamic children in Afghanistan with these same ideas. So the question is, where did this whole thing came from? Well, it came from Saudi Arabia, but it also was financed by our Central Intelligence Agency. Do you think we have created the best enemy money could buy? And, of course, once you get this thing started, it's like, lighting a match in a forest. It's dry. It simply begins to spread. And now, of course, in Turkey, the reason, of course, Turkey's parliament voted not to allow the American troops to go through there was because of the degree of radical Islamic movement within Turkey itself. And the people embrace this radical form of Islam. They're doing it increasingly in Pakistan. They're doing it increasingly in Egypt. And the reason that Egypt doesn't come in and help us is because they're afraid of their own population. And this movement is spreading and spreading rapidly and spreading right here in the United States because we allowed the Saudi Arabians to send their imams into our prisons and recruit literally hundreds of thousands of black prisoners there into this radical form of Islam aimed at hatred of America. And why would we do something that stupid? Or maybe it wasn't stupid at all. maybe it was diabolical.
Either that or, you know, and it could be any number, and it doesn't make any difference why. The point is that's the direction we're heading. We're heading towards a lot of chaos. I don't know if you read Jane's Intelligence, where they're basically saying that the whole situation in Afghanistan is beginning to deteriorate because the Afghans are starting to view our interim president there as being sort of a U.S. stooge of the CIA.
You mean Karzai, the fellow who used to work for UNICAL,
right.
And he lived here in the United States until he suddenly was democratically elected by two mentions of the CIA, got together and said, we're going to have a democracy here. Let's select Karzai to be the president.
Yep.
How gullible can the American people be? Remember, we went into the Gulf War so we could bring democracy and freedom to the people of Kuwait. And what did we do? Why, we instituted the monarchy, the dictatorship there.
It's interesting. Nobody ever notices that we never follow up. It's even you can even take it back to domestic issues, that people will vote for, you know, more and more what they call environmental stuff, but they're not looking at the environmental regulations that we're just destroying the economy and doing questionable good things for a lot of the animals and the other situations out there. None of this stuff is ever discussed on a reasonable basis, like, well, we put it in to do this, where's the follow-up? Did it actually accomplish what we said it was going to accomplish? Did we fall down? It just seems to go by the boards, and we move on to the next issue, assuming that it was completed the way it was. You know, that once we vote the law in, once we get the treaty signed, once we get the president put in, that it's all accomplished. And there's very little follow-up. If there's one thing that has disgusted me about this build-up to this whole war here for the last 5 months, it's been night after night after night of the same stuff on every channel with no variation. Now, that should be telling somebody something, okay? No additional input, no variation. There were other parallel stories which were equally important, but every time I flipped on the cable every night or on Sunday mornings, it was all the same stuff.
Well, it doesn't really matter whether it's ABC, CBS, or NBC, or CNN. They're all controlled by the same people, putting out the same information. Have you ever noticed that they want to get legislation through? They keep talking, oh, look at this crisis. For instance, look at how expensive medicines are here in the United States. You realize that you can buy them for 20% of the cost up there in Canada. Now, why is that? Is it a conspiracy on the part of our drug companies? Oh, no. It's perfectly all right. The solution is we need new government laws. And we want to get the people, then we're going to give them free medicines if they'll simply change their Medicare status. People don't understand this whole thing is being manipulated. I mean, how could you have drugs that cost five times or four times as much here in the United States as they do in Canada or Mexico, and now they're trying to pass laws that you can't buy them in Canada and Mexico through the internet or any other place.
Did you see that?
And of course, you have to understand, they want to create the crisis, and nobody ever tells you we're being manipulated. And of course, there's the carrot and the stick. The carrot is, right, we're going to give you cheap drugs if you'll just sort of give up your Medicare. This is what they want people to do, to go into managed care so that somebody else will make the life and death decisions for you. And all the media tells you this, but they never tell you it is all planned that way.
Yeah, okay. I mean, these agendas are set out well in advance. I can give you a good example of one of them. I'm glad you caught on the Canadian medicine. I was just about to bring that up. It's so funny, the Galen Institute is out there trying to say, well, the reason we don't want these re-imported is we can't assure their quality and blah, blah, blah. And I thought, oh, my gosh, this is such a flimsy reason. It's basically the same drugs exported from the U.S., re-imported. They even call them re-import.
Well, these are from the same companies.
They're from the same companies, right.
Oh, but we can't trust those. And we're from here, and we want to protect the American people from these inferior drugs, so we're going to make them so expensive they can't afford to buy them. And the people don't understand. It's all created. They create the problem. They have the solution. Many years ago, when I was in organized medicine, they had a representative come from Washington, D.C., to talk to the House of Delegates of the California Medical Association, and I went up to him and I said, tell me what's going to happen. He says, you don't want to know. And I said, I really do want to know. Now, this was 10 years ago, at least 15 years ago. And he said, all right, I'll tell you what's going to happen. He said, eventually, of course, this whole thing is going to collapse, and then there's going to be a two-tiered system. There's going to be the government medicine for the elderly, and then there's going to be private medicine for those who can afford it. and that's where it's really going to go. And this is eventually the whole thing's going to come collapsing. And of course, then of course we'll have a government medicine, and you're just not going to get anything done on it. You know, you get to see a physician's assistant or a nurse or something, and they'll keep putting you off and patting you on the head and giving you a few more aspirins or something. And then if you have the money, you can get your private health care. But by that time, most Americans will be so impoverished they won't be able to afford it. And it's all planned ahead of time by the leaders of both political parties, because they're all both going the same direction. And the trouble is, nobody ever tells the people what's planned.
Well, a slight adjustment to that. There are a few people out there telling them what the documents and the speeches and the conversations and the meetings are saying. Those are people such as you and I. However, when we say that, we're branded as wackos, which is why I always say, your failure to be informed doesn't make me a wacko. Let me give you an example.
I love that line.
Remember the 1989 Governor's Conference on Education that we had. Now, basically, the entire agenda for education in the 90s was set out at that conference, how they were going to transform education from one where we teach academics to where we simply make it a place where we train people for jobs. We create robots out of them. They discussed about the necessity of this. People didn't have to learn reading and writing and arithmetic anymore. They simply only needed the skills they needed for their particular jobs. They'd be put on a job track, and that's where they'd go. We called it at the time School to Work. The early part of it was called Parents as Teachers. The first step in that project was called Outcome-Based Education. They knew they had to move it through in this fashion, because if you dump this on the parents of this country in one big dollop, they would have recognized that there would have been a huge outcry. So it was done in steps, and finally under President Bush and a conservative Congress, we passed through the most radical leftist education bill, which will not reform education. It was not new. It will provide accountability, but it is not accountability in terms of education and what your students know, but how well they conform to the latest politically correct attitudes and values and beliefs.
That was Ted Kennedy's bill that the Republicans passed, but we couldn't let the Republicans know that. The good conservatives, God-fearing people, realized that the Republicans, led by our president, passed Ted Kennedy's bill.
But the point is, and that's correct, the point is, in 1989, they were told you where we would be by 1999. Now, if there were no concerted agenda, how did that happen? When you took the, remember when we first had exit outcomes that were supposed to be part of OBE? If you took the exit outcomes from Portland, Maine, and the exit outcomes from Portland, Oregon, and you put them side by side, remember, they were supposed to be arrived at separately and independently, lo and behold, they all read the same. It was like 95%, even the verbiage was the same, as if they had just simply copied large amounts of text and pasted into their local bill. Now, my question is, if there were no concerted agenda to achieve this result or outcome, how did that happen? Because random chance will not account for it.
Well, we know there was a plan. In fact, that's what Charlotte Isabey found when she worked in the Department of Education. And that's why her book, The Deliberate Dumbing Down of America, based upon all these government documents that were there during the Reagan administration.
Right.
And of course, that was when we had William Bennett there as Secretary of Education. I guess he came in probably after she had left, but she found that they were actually planning really to dumb down our children, to come up with this new program, not to educate our children, but to indoctrinate them in all these things, environmentalism and sex and internationalism and to embrace socialism and then the workforce, not training them for excellence, but so they could fit into some little job in the corporations, if we had any left here by the time they graduate.
Well, you know, it's interesting when you say nobody's telling them. There are people telling them, but we face the same challenge that the Jews who escaped from Auschwitz did, or from some of the other camps. There were a few camps that people escaped from. I think I can't remember which one. Anyway, and that was, they went back and told the others, they're poisoning us, they're gassing us, and they're burning us in the ovens here, and no one would believe them, see? And so that's the issue, because they wouldn't do that, you know. Well, I'm sorry, they are doing that. And the other thing I always ask is that when these people go to their jobs, whether it's in your state capital in Sacramento or whatever, what do you think they're doing there? Do you think they just go in and play tiddlywinks all day long? Don't people have goals and agendas and things they would like to see? You know, we used to be told we shouldn't push our values on anybody, but for Pete's sake, everybody goes to Sacramento with a value to put into law. You know, the whole essence of law is to put somebody's value as the law. Law is not valueless.
Well, this is why I'm very concerned here, because, of course, the agenda of the ruling party in Sacramento is the homosexual pagan agenda. And we can look at this from the point of view of conservative liberal, or we can look at it from God's point of view. And I don't think God's going to put up with it much longer. I think he's going to bring terrible judgment upon California. Well, John, we're out of time. We could go on for hours. Will you come back again sometime real soon?
Love to do it. That's why everybody's fleeing your state. We just had a company move in here. They just can't survive in the atmosphere anymore.
God bless you. We'll talk to you later.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Okay, that was John Leffler. I hope you enjoy him. Certainly, John's one of my favorite guests, and I hope he's one of yours as well. We'll be right back here in just a few minutes to wrap up this program here at Radio Liberty Network.
The Anglo-American establishment gives you the documentation for Professor Quigley's allegation that there was a secret society created in England that ultimately came to dominate England and ultimately came to dominate the United States of America. The Anglo-American establishment will give you the books that you can read, written by men who were actually involved in the original secret society. Professor Quigley opens his book saying that most people have heard of the Rhodes Scholarships, and a few people have actually heard that Cecil Rhodes wrote a confession of faith, which was attached to his first five wills, talking about the formation of a secret society. But what almost no one in America realizes today is that that secret society was actually formed and still exists to this very day. The Anglo-American Establishment by Professor Quigley, Bill Clinton's mentor, is one of the most important books you'll ever read, and available by calling 1-800-5-HIV-WAR.
Well, this is Dr. Stan, and of course you can only understand why Tony Blair is risking his whole political future, because nobody in England wants the war. But of course he's part of the Anglo-American establishment. They've always interlocked the leaders of England and the leaders of the United States. Conservative or liberal, really doesn't matter. That, of course, is simply to make the people out there think that they really have a choice. But this Anglo-American establishment certainly supersedes government or our duly elected representatives. So the book Anglo-American Establishment is very important. But let me just mention a couple of things here. We would mention the fact that if you do not already have a supply of food and other things on hand, why, you really, really seriously begin considering it, because I think there are going to be some difficult times. Now, I hope and pray that I'm wrong, but it would be far better to be prepared and not need the items than not to have them and need them. So if you'd like, we'll be glad to send you free of charge a ready reserve food catalog. It has food and various sorts of dehydrated foods, but all the other substances you need. So give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. We'll send you the catalog, and then, of course, you want to get the items. Why, you can fax that or mail it back to us, and we'll see that you get them. And then, of course, we want to mention we've got in David Wagner's great videos, The Day That Changed America Forever, and second video, Welcome to World War III / New World Order. Both of those are available through Radio Liberty. And, of course, we also have John Stormer's videos. In fact, if you don't have a list of all the various items we have, give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. We'll be glad to send you a catalog. And hopefully you'll get this material, you'll copy this material, you'll help to get it out across America, because it's up to you and up to your family to help us get the truth out, because they're not going to get it to regular channels. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here, and of course this is the time when I need to remind you that Radio Liberty is listener-supported, and we're primarily dependent upon those people who listen to our programs on a regular basis, who believe in what we're talking about, to help us. And so if you'd like to join the Radio Liberty family of supporters for a suggested gift of $20 a month or more, as much as you can afford, why, we'll send you the four best tapes of the month, we'll send you the monthly newsletter. But more than that, anything that's left over will go towards financing our radio programs. on stations across America. And certainly we're small, but we're growing. We're having an outreach. And with your help, we can reach more and more people. So now, of course, this program, our two-hour program, is syndicated and being heard on more stations across America. And we hope that many of you will certainly want to join the Radio Liberty family of supporters, because that's how we're able to expand. And, of course, when you become part of the Radio Liberty family, why, you are helping us to do what we do. And that is educate people about the spiritual forces behind the geopolitical forces that control the governments of the world. And, of course, if you go and you read the Bible, you'll find out there's a conspiracy against God. It's always been there. Jeremiah 11:9, Ezekiel 22:25, there's a conspiracy against God. The second Psalm, the rulers of the world deride and laugh at God. But, of course, you have to understand that it's that same conspiracy that's always been here. They try to marginalize the word conspiracy. Well, if it's good enough for God, it's good enough for me. And there really are dark and sinister spiritual forces that energize these various movements that we talk about, including the Anglo-American establishment. So if you'd like to join the Radio Liberty family, our number, 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. Not many people just subscribe to our newsletter, and that certainly helps. We actually send our newsletter out. We have a captive population. Many people in the prisons listen to this, and it's a source of, they like to get the newsletter, and so we send it to them. We send it to an awful lot of those out, but when you subscribe, why, you help us to reach the people in the prisons. You help us to send the letter to key opinion makers, because they read the information there, and they're going to begin to understand what's really going on. It's amazing to me how many of the leaders of this country really don't understand. They're good people, but they don't understand what's going on. Those who read our newsletter, however, do. And then, of course, we hope that you'll tell others about our website, RadioLiberty.com. You can go there. You can listen to our program on the Internet 3 hours a day on Radio Liberty. You can, of course, link to the American Freedom Network or get onto the Genesis Network. And here are other 2 hours. It's 5 hours a day. We reach out across America. And as we always say, listen 5 hours a day. You won't get anything accomplished. Please tell others about our programs. Tell them about our websites, and they can pull down our newsletter there. And, of course, we give you our permission to copy our newsletter, to copy our tapes, to copy our videos, to copy anything we've written, because we're primarily trying to spread information. And you can help us, and only you can. We can't, of course, get on ABC, CBS, or NBC. Last time I was on a nationally syndicated program, they fired the host, or hostess. It was a program back in Washington, D.C., and they whisked me around, pardon me, in New York, they whisked me around in a big, long white limo, and I was up on the stage with three or four people, and we must have done pretty well, because it wasn't very long after that when the hostess was no longer doing her syndicated nationwide program. So you're not going to hear the truth through ordinary channels, but you can get it here on Radio Liberty, and you can help us to get that information out across America. Pray for our boys going into battle. Pray for these civilians over there, the Arabs, the Israelis. Please remember to pray for our leaders and our ministers, and pray for revival, but please also pray for Radio Liberty, for our provision and our protection. And so until tomorrow at the same time, Dr. Stan, may the Lord be with you. We'll be right back.
Kyle, what's a good word? What's that?
I don't think it's morning yet. I think that it's probably in the middle of the night over there.
I forget how many hours are different. Last night, I don't remember. Let's look and see how many hours different. Well, they're about 10 hours ahead of us?
I think so. So it would be probably about 3 o'clock in the morning, something like that over there.